It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning. Hour number three begins. It is 8:06, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And some of your major headlines, if you haven't heard already, my goodness, Joe Biden is not going to run for a second term. He said, not going to do it. You can't talk me into it.
Yeah, let's give him ice cream.
No matter how hard you try, I'm going to say no. No, he was, I think he was bargaining and leveraging for some kind of deal. Yeah, a lifetime supply of ice cream.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's not going to run. Put his full endorsement behind Kamala. Well, it still could be a spinning wheel of who knows what, because it's all going to come down to the convention, and that's nearly a month away. What are they going to do in the meantime? It's crazy. We'll get back to that. Right now, though, a special guest in the studio, bringing it much more to the local level.
And more fun.
Yeah. From the city of Alachua, Kyler Burke is here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
I like
it. Good morning.
Kyler, how you doing? Good to have you back.
It's good to be back, guys.
You're the public information officer for the city of Alachua. You got to be excited. I'm pretty sure, but I'll let you do the talking, but I'm pretty sure we're coming off another great 4th of July event. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think it was probably one of the best ones we've had in a very, very long time. You know, we've been doing it 25 years, and I think this has been one of the largest attended fireworks displays we've had in the entirety of the time we've been doing this.
I wonder... Can you give me a ballpark on how much it costs just for the fireworks, what the expenditure is?
Oh, man, I know.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I know it's a lot. I don't know exactly what the amount is, but I could tell you that the amount that is spent is directly put back into the community as well, with all of the people that get to come and get to see Alachua and how great our community thrives, especially when we have an influx of the number of people that we did.
So I've been to several of them. I mean, and the display, your fireworks is always been phenomenal, and that's why I wonder because I see other communities around your size that don't do nearly as much, and then I see small communities that, you know, come pretty close.
Sure.
I just wondered, you know, how that works in terms of money and all that. Obviously, the more money you have, the more you can do, but that's got to be a lot of work to put together a program like that, even though you've done it many times.
Absolutely, yep. And I mean, like I said, we spare no expense when it comes to this, to the fireworks, but also at the same time, we're planning this event. We start back in February for that. So, I mean, we have a committee that gets together every month, and then as it gets closer, every 2 weeks, and then probably the month before, we're meeting every week to make sure everything is lined up, ready to go, so that way people enter, they enjoy the time, and they leave with no problems.
So, the city of Alachua, this is by design to say, look, we do events for our constituents. We want them to get together. You know, this is family fun. This is entertainment. This is a sense of community. And is that something that's a draw for both people, but for businesses as well to come move to the community?
Absolutely. And we really pride ourselves on making sure that we try to foster an environment for businesses to succeed, not just in, you know, the downtown area, but really in any of the areas that we have. So
you had a great event, 4th of July, and you say, you know what? Let's do something else. Let's do something big. So you are going to have a huge what I believe will be a huge concert event. Tell us about it.
Yes, yeah, so August 8th, and we'll start at 6:30 p.m. It'll be at the same place as the 4th of July fireworks display, so the Legacy Park Amphitheater. We will have Ken and Drew from Sister Hazel live there on August 8th, starting at 6:30 p.m.
So this is more of an acoustical type thing, I guess we'd call it. I mean, plugged in, but
yes.
It's not the full complement of the band, but the two main guys, Drew Copeland and Ken Block, and they're gonna be the entertainment. That now, how much are you gonna charge the folks to see that show?
Free admission, so you could get in and you can enjoy it for free. Again, this is just another event that we're having for the community. And like you said, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a little bit more of an acoustic setting. It's reminiscent of their earlier performance days when they would canvas the club and coffee shop circuit, just as that duo that started right here.
Kind of back
Alachua
to the roots.
County. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, they're hometown favorites and hometown heroes for sure. And so I like this. Look, if you couldn't do it on the weekend, and weekends are tough because a lot of people have plans. They have commitments. Everybody and their brother has like a travel insert the sport kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you do it on a Thursday night, which I like because that kind of makes the weekend feel a little bit closer.
Oh, sure.
And so, but 6:30 is a good time. If you got to run home, if you got to grab grub, got to take a shower, grab the kids, whatever, you could do that. Or you can relax, chill, get there a little early, and then you're going to have food trucks, right?
Yes, yep. So we'll have local vendors there as well. I know for a fact we've got Mia Pa as well as Good Life Station right out of Alachua, Florida.
Yeah.
So we'll have a few of those local vendors that are set up and ready to serve as well.
How did the Legacy Park come about? Because that really is a jewel in the community, and unless you've been there, you might not know much about it.
Definitely, yeah. No, it's definitely a beautiful area. I mean, and that's all great thanks to the vision of our commission, and then from our commission down to our administrative staff to be able to say, okay, this is the vision from the commission. Let's go ahead and make it possible. And you're right. I mean, it's definitely one of the most unique venues, I would say, especially for events, for sports, for things like that. I'd say in North Florida or even Florida in general. I mean, it's definitely a beautiful and unique site.
So that building stays pretty busy, like with the, like I was talking about, travel sports. I mean, like the volleyball and the other indoor sports.
Oh, yes, definitely. Okay. And then as of mid-August, we're actually starting the registration for fall sports as well. So, I mean, it's the recreation and culture staff, I mean, they are hammering it out. They are always busy, whether it's fall sports, then it's spring sports, and then it's summer camp, and then it's all the events and everything. I mean, we definitely have something going on, and they are booked out a lot. So, I mean, I'd say they are, they're hitting it hard.
So this particular event, I guess, comes under the recreation department, helps to defray the cost for this event itself?
Absolutely, yep. And they do a great job, a great service to the community.
Now it's not actually at Legacy Park in the building that we know, because a lot of us have gone to, the Republican thing they do every year, the Ronald Reagan thing, which has been a huge success, and that building has been
awesome.
More than perfect for it. But this is actually, if you're going toward the building, you look off to your right, and it's down a little bit, and that's an amphitheater.
Yes.
And so, how does that work? There's people that'll be on the grass outside of it, but also there's some seating, correct?
There's no seating, but there is a huge, huge field that the amphitheater faces. It's actually two large multi-purpose fields, so there's quite a few different events and sports events that go on during those times, but then the amphitheater is also there for when you have, like, a performance or some type of event like that. It faces out there, and it's kind of like the same deal as the 4th of July, bring your chairs, bring your blankets, things like that, so that way you can kind of get comfortable and kind of hit. And I'll tell you one thing, there was one individual or a couple people that brought out a mattress. They brought out a blow up mattress so that way they could sit and enjoy the fireworks. So I figured that would be
smart.
Yeah,
very smart.
So it's wide open. Make sure you bring all the things that you're going to need to just chill and relax and take in the great, great music of Ken Block and Drew Copeland and the Sister Hazel. Songs that they're going to play, but it's just the two of them getting back to their roots. Legacy Park Amphitheater, and this is Thursday, August the 8th. Marked it on your calendar. That's coming up.
Yep.
Thursday, August 8th, and that is going to be a great show. It's absolutely free. Bring your blankets, bring your chairs, bring your appetite. Bring your appetite, and food trucks will be there, and Wow. A great time again. Yep. Keep up the good work.
One more thing, too, yeah. If you don't mind. So kind of the same deal as 4th of July. No glass containers, no smoking, a lot of those same rules that we have.
No hammerheads. Yeah, don't be a doofus. Public information officer for the city of Alachua, Kyler Burke. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That's going to be fun. Fun show. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. And State Senator Blaise Ingolio is going to join us bottom of the hour. Hang on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Kamala for King. King Kamala.
Oh, my.
It is 8:20. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy Monday. We're going to try to make it great. But the top story absolutely is, he made it official. Joe Biden said, nope, not going to be a candidate. They never really made it official. That doesn't happen officially until the convention, which is not until August 19th. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So it might not be a lock that Kamala is the top of the ticket. Now, Republicans are calling for Biden to step down out of office like now.
Right. If you're not good enough to run, you're not good enough to serve.
Yeah. And I get their point. And I look, this whole thing is happening so much later than it should have. If anybody, was gifted with something that I'm gifted with called logic.
Well, we gave him 6 months or a year. We didn't give him three and a half years.
Yeah, yes. In the very beginning.
Well, stop and think about that. If we thought he was failing then, and you look at him now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, and guess who else sees him? Could it be like all of our enemies?
Oh, my goodness.
That cannot be good.
No.
And they look for vulnerability. And look, it doesn't mean necessarily a war-type scenario, but they'll do some things that normally they wouldn't do. They feel a little empowered, They feel like, the substitute teacher's here. Even the good kids can kind of take on a different personality.
Is Little Robbie coming out now? Is that a memory?
From what?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't. Okay. No. Look, I was always a little bit of a wisecracker. I wanted some attention. It had to be witty. I just didn't.
Right.
I didn't do it just to be like pay attention to me. It's like it had to be witty because you make the girls laugh and
Then they like you. They think you're cool.
Yeah.
So some things have never changed.
Yeah. So the teachers, so it was generally they either really liked me or they didn't care for me so much.
But you're right. Here we are. It's like, okay, even though our government will still operate and it's not necessarily been operating under Joe Biden anyway, it doesn't look good.
But yeah, look, if you have to utilize, say, the Situation Room.
Oh my goodness.
Who's going to be in there?
Who's in charge?
And then if there's something that needs to have a focus on there, then who is the go-to person to take care of other business that may need to still, you still have to do? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Kamala's not a for sure. Even though Joe said he's not running and he fully endorsed Kamala. There's still a question, and things could get slicey, dicey, and odd at the convention. So, in 1968 in Chicago was one that'll go down like an infamy. And so, could we see kind of a repeat of that? It'll be interesting. What if this Josh Shapiro, his name's being tossed around. He's a governor of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, obviously, an important state. the Democrats would like to win that state. The polls right now have Biden down a little bit there. And could that help them to pick that state up? But the fact that he's Jewish would be interesting to see, because the squad has a lot of influence. What would they say? What would they do? And,
right.
You know, and you, they couldn't be too outward about it. Although they have been in other issues about anti-Semitic remarks. But so, yeah. It's and here's here's the deal. Hollywood, though, they're lining up behind Kamala.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. They're just all lefty and, you know.
Bobby De Niro, Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, Mark Ruffalo, John Cryer.
The typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Where's the meathead? Hey, was meathead? I didn't. He'll be in there.
I think he finally, he did. He jumped on the bandwagon to get Joe to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he made the further step of,
We'll
endorsing
see.
Kamala yet. The squad.
Uh-huh.
They love them some Kamala.
Okay.
And they claim she's the most qualified.
Wow. For what?
To be the president.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Not sure about that.
Now that President Biden has suspended his campaign, Vice President Kamala Harris is the most qualified and best choice to lead us forward. That's from Jamal Bowman, Democrat out of New York, and others in the squad. You got Presley, you got Omar, you got Cori Bush. They also issued statements of support for Harris.
Listening to Donna Brazile yesterday, she was going, oh, yeah, you know, Kamala has been tested. She's been on the road. It's like... Yeah, she just no
again.
No, no, no.
Again, border czar.
Yeah,
that's it. Just let it sit. Just let it sit there.
Major fail.
Border czar. All right. Hey, Mr. Perfect Hair. You know his name's going to come up in a conversation.
Sure.
Governor Gavin Newsom. Yep. He endorsed fellow Vice President Kamala Harris, a fellow Californian.
Right.
And for president. On Sunday, following the withdrawal of President Biden earlier in the day, he called her tough, fearless, and tenacious. With our democracy, there goes that D word.
Yeah.
With our democracy at stake and our future on the line, no one is better to prosecute the case against Donald Trump's dark vision and guide our country in a healthier direction than America's Vice President Kamala Harris. Interesting choice of words and clever. He talks about prosecute the case.
Right.
Makes you think of two things. She was a prosecutor.
Right.
And then you run that right up against Donald Trump, his name. Of course, you know, he was convicted of those felonies in a kangaroo court, but convicted nonetheless.
Yet as a VP, she's out there bailing people out who are committing crimes against cities in America.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, they're going to play up the tough on crime, and the Republicans need to play up the, hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
When cities were burning, she was bailing young people out, and that's absolutely true. But the issue here with Gavin Newsom, yeah, he's kissing butt. Yep. I don't know if he'd be a good fit for VP, but again, he knows that he opportunity.
Well, cabinet position.
Well, that too. Yeah.
There might be, he may not want to be VP under her. He might like a nice cabinet position that'll put him in that national limelight to be looking forward in his career.
I don't know if you get more. I think he gets more publicity and stuff. He became a household name. Because he was governor of California versus you know, being in a cabinet position.
Yeah. During COVID, he kind of, you know, a lot of folks got to know who he was.
Yeah.
Decisions he was making, bad ones.
So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he'll probably be in some mix somewhere, or at least offered it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'd take it, but that's a pretty big gig he has.
It is. Big state, powerful state. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, anyway, what really bothered me was... prosecute the case against Donald Trump's dark vision.
Wow.
Remember Biden on stage and he's got these red lights behind him and it's almost blacked out.
That was spooky.
But he's calling Trump's vision dark. When Trump's out, people are yelling and screaming, USA, red, white, and blue, and we can do it, and fight.
Yeah.
Nothing could be more upbeat, more positive, more bright, and feel good.
Yes.
And giving America hope. So I don't know where he's coming up with that. It's 8:28. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. State Senator Angolio is going to join us right after this break. Coming up, News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Now, you just hold on a second. What are you saying now? We're not riding with Biden?
Yeah.
Riding with Biden. You know who was... He kept saying it.
Clyburn did.
Jim Clyburn.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I liked it. I liked the way he said it.
Yeah.
He seemed genuine. They asked him all kinds of questions. I'm riding with Biden. That is perfect.
Did he abandon Brandon?
He did indeed. Yeah. Left him at the curb. Left him cold. Representative Jim Clyburn, the Democrat out of South Carolina, has endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris Sunday after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race. So now he's cruising with Kamala.
Oh, man.
I just thought of that. I don't know. Couldn't think of anything else.
Not much rhymes with Kamala.
Cruising with Kamala.
There you go.
Yeah, Jim Clyburn. He left old Joe Biden.
To the curb.
All right, we'll get back to that. We've got other... big stories we want to get to as well. And a special guest, State Senator Blaise Angolia, District 11. And we're checking in with him. And good morning, Senator. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just want to say, if it's cruising with Kamala, I think that's more like the Titanic.
I like that.
I could see where that would go. And speaking of which, look, all the things that have occurred with Biden stepping aside, Kamala stepping up, I want to get your input, your take on that. I also want to know, does that affect things directly in what's done in Tallahassee or what you do as a lawmaker? I mean, what are the implications there, or does it really matter who's at the federal level because you've got things to do in Tallahassee?
Well, I mean, as a lawmaker in Tallahassee, we're always playing defense against the federal government and this leftist agenda that Biden has pushed with the aid of Kamala. If Kamala Harris gains the presidency, we are going to continue to have to play defense against their overregulation and their leftist agenda. So it does change it to a certain degree. But, you know, we've been playing defense against the Biden administration and notching up a bunch of W's in court. So I think, you know, the state of Florida is going to be fine. We've shown that we can separate ourselves from the insanity that is Washington, D.C. and govern here effectively.
Yeah. Now you're on the Banking and Insurance Committee, and I'm going to have to torture you about this every time. And that is, you know, the homeowners insurance, extremely high for Floridians, as you know, do you think we're going to make some headway in Tallahassee? Is there something going to be done soon where people are going to find that, you know, the homeowners insurance, you know, goes down a little?
Yeah, actually, so it has gone down a little. I think the latest rate filings show that there have been on an average a 6% reduction. But what I caution everyone is that there's a couple of things that everybody should know. Number one is that, yeah, we're here in Florida and we see our insurance rates because we get our insurance premium every year. But if you look across the United States, it's not just a Florida issue. It is a United States issue and a global issue. Insurance rates have exploded all over the globe. In fact, I want to say that the increases in insurance rates in the state of Florida are nowhere near as much as what you've seen in Louisiana or California. Now, that's not an excuse. It's actually, we're trying to do everything that we possibly can. We passed serious tort reform, which is helping that out. But it is a much bigger issue than the state of Florida. And part of that is the reinsurance market. The insurers that insure your home actually get insurance themselves. And that has been very, very sky high. But another thing I want everyone to understand is that because Florida is such a destination where people are moving here in droves, we're now over 22 million people, home prices have gone up steadily over the past couple of years. And when your home prices go up, your replacement value goes up. So if you had a home that was worth, let's say, 5 years ago, $200,000, and your premium was $2,500, now your home may be worth $400,000, and now your premium may be $4,500. So a lot of that is made up by replacement costs. a lot of it also is made up by waste, fraud, and abuse in the system, and that's what we're trying to handle in Tallahassee. I just maintain that everyone to remain patient, where we're doing everything that we can, and every session that comes up is another opportunity to deliver some results in the form of lower premiums for everyone.
People realize with inflation, like you said, the cost of replacement, all that is going to go up naturally to some extent. A lot of fraud, unfortunately, Florida's been known for that. A lot of fraud taking place there. But I think for a lot of us that live, you know, in the middle of the state, I mean, I'm almost perfectly 60-something miles from either coast, and, you know, my insurance keeps going up, and I'm like, now, wait a second, I understand the risk, hurricanes, rebuilding, and all that, but I'm in the middle of the state. I mean, you know, I'm pretty safe here.
Yeah, that's a good point, and let me address that point. The feds have redrawn their FEMA maps, their flooding maps. There are a lot of places in the state where you would never think is in the flood zone. All of a sudden, with the new federal rules, they're in flood zones. So to your point, not everyone gets off the hook here in the state of Florida. One of the things that we have to understand is that every time we see a storm come towards Florida, it normally crosses the peninsula. We've seen it a lot of time. It'll come on shore as a Category 3, Category 4. It will go across Florida and it will reemerge on the other side, whether it be the Gulf of the Atlantic, and then reform into a 1 or a 2 and then hit again. So everything in the path of that hurricane obviously is at risk. And the new FEMA flood maps that are coming out from the federal government don't help.
Yeah, and I remember they did something similar a few years back, and I had to get my property looked at back then. And I said, you know, how come FEMA doesn't, you know, have this information, because I'm not in a flood zone? They said, oh, yeah, they're using your information to update the FEMA maps. And I said, are they going to reimburse my cost? No. So I thought that, yeah, I felt good about that. And then let me ask you this. Illegals. We've got these folks flooding across the borders, you know, and the governor has taken a pretty hard line, but he can't like stop at the Florida border and physically stop buses and other people that are coming in. How are we, do you think we're dealing with this influx effectively and the concern about taking jobs away from other blue collar or lower on that socioeconomic ladder, taking their jobs away? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this as somebody who carries and writes all of the anti-illegal immigration bills in the state of Florida that Governor DeSantis has signed. There is more that we can do. One of the things that the governor and I have spoken about is crafting a bill to become law in the state of Florida that mimics what Texas is trying to do. Texas has made the argument, the legal argument, and it will wind up at the Supreme Court, that because the federal government has shirked its responsibilities in enforcing immigration, that the states now have no choice but to enforce immigration law. And it was upheld by the appellate court, and it's going to eventually wind up in the Supreme Court. I think Florida needs that law also, which would allow states, specifically the state of Florida, to detain people in the state of Florida deport them because they are illegal. But one thing that could be done on the federal level, and I have not spoken to the Trump campaign about this, but I will, is it's very easy to stop this at the federal level. Trump has already done a very good job in his previous presidency stopping the flow of illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. But if President Trump would deputize state agencies, and allow them to enforce federal law, then every state can then deport. And I think that's the type of aggressive law we need in order to do this. That and what we can do is have the federal government classify.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, you just hold on a second. What are you saying now? We're not riding with Biden?
Yeah.
Riding with Biden. You know who was... He kept saying it.
Clyburn did.
Jim Clyburn.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I liked it. I liked the way he said it.
Yeah.
He seemed genuine. They asked him all kinds of questions. I'm riding with Biden. Oh, that is perfect.
Did he abandon Brandon?
He did indeed. Yeah. Left him at the curb. Left him cold. Representative Jim Clyburn, the Democrat out of South Carolina, has endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris Sunday after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race. So now he's cruising with Kamala. I just thought of that. I don't know. Couldn't think of anything else.
Not much rhymes with Kamala.
Cruising with Kamala.
There you go.
Yeah, Jim Clyburn. He left old Joe Biden.
To the curb.
All right, we'll get back to that. We've got other big stories we want to get to as well. And a special guest, State Senator Blaze Ingolia, District 11. And we're checking in with him. And good morning, Senator. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just want to say, if it's cruising with Kamala, I think that's more like the Titanic.
Ooh, I like that.
I could see where that would go. And speaking of which, look, all the things that have occurred with Biden stepping aside, Kamala stepping up. I want to get your input, your take on that. I also want to know, does that affect things directly in what's done in Tallahassee or what you do as a lawmaker? I mean, what are the implications there, or does it really matter who's at the federal level because you've got things to do in Tallahassee?
Well, I mean, as a lawmaker in Tallahassee, we're always playing defense against the federal government and this leftist agenda that Biden has pushed with the aid of Kamala. If Kamala Harris gains the presidency, we are going to continue to have to play defense against their overregulation and their leftist agenda. So it does change it to a certain degree. But, you know, we've been playing defense against the Biden administration and notching up a bunch of W's in court. So I think, you know, the state of Florida is going to be fine. We've shown that we can separate ourselves from the insanity that is Washington, D.C. and govern here effectively.
Yeah. Now you're on the Banking and Insurance Committee, and I'm going to have to torture you about this every time. And that is, you know, the homeowners insurance, extremely high for Floridians, as you know, do you think we're going to make some headway in Tallahassee? Is there something going to be done soon where people are going to find that, you know, the homeowners insurance, you know, goes down a little?
Yeah, actually, so it has gone down a little. I think the latest rate filings show that there have been on an average a 6% reduction. But what I caution everyone is that there's a couple of things that everybody should know. Number one is that, yeah, we're here in Florida and we see our insurance rates because we get our insurance premium every year. But if you look across the United States, it's not just a Florida issue. It is a United States issue and a global issue. Insurance rates have exploded all over the globe. In fact, I want to say that the increases in insurance rates in the state of Florida are nowhere near as much as what you've seen in Louisiana or California. Now, that's not an excuse. It's actually, we're trying to do everything that we possibly can. We passed serious tort reform, which is helping that out. But it is a much bigger issue than the state of Florida. And part of that is the reinsurance market. The insurers that insure your home actually get insurance themselves. And that has been very, very sky high. But another thing I want everyone to understand is that because Florida is such a destination where people are moving here in droves, we're now over 22 million people, home prices have gone up steadily over the past couple of years. And when your home prices go up, your replacement value goes up. So if you had a home that was worth, let's say, 5 years ago, $200,000, and your premium was $2,500, now your home may be worth $400,000, and now your premium may be $4,500. So
A lot of that is made up by replacement costs. A lot of it also is made up by waste, fraud, and abuse in the system, and that's what we're trying to handle in Tallahassee. I just maintain that everyone to remain patient, where we're doing everything that we can, and every session that comes up is another opportunity to deliver some results in the form of lower premiums for everyone.
People realize with inflation, like you said, the cost of replacement, all that is going to go up naturally to some extent. A lot of fraud, unfortunately, Florida's been known for that. A lot of fraud taking place there. But I think for a lot of us that live, you know, in the middle of the state, I mean, I'm almost perfectly 60-something miles from either coast, and, you know, my insurance keeps going up, and I'm like, now, wait a second, I understand the risk, hurricanes, rebuilding, and all that, but I'm in the middle of the state. I mean, you know, I'm pretty safe here.
Yeah, that's a good point, and let me address that point. The feds have redrawn their FEMA maps, their flooding maps. There are a lot of places in the state where you would never think is in the flood zone. All of a sudden, with the new federal rules, they're in flood zones. So to your point, not everyone gets off the hook here in the state of Florida. One of the things that we have to understand is that every time we see a storm come towards Florida, it normally crosses the peninsula. We've seen it a lot of time. It'll come on shore as a Category 3, Category 4. It will go across Florida and it will reemerge on the other side, whether it be the Gulf of the Atlantic, and then reform into a 1 or a 2 and then hit again. So everything in the path of that hurricane obviously is at risk. And the new FEMA flood maps that are coming out from the federal government don't help.
Yeah, and I remember they did something similar a few years back, and I had to get my property looked at back then. And I said, you know, how come FEMA doesn't, you know, have this information, because I'm not in a flood zone? They said, oh, yeah, they're using your information to update the FEMA maps. And I said, are they going to reimburse my cost? No. So I thought that, yeah, I felt good about that. And then let me ask you this. Illegals. We've got these folks flooding across the borders, you know, and the governor has taken a pretty hard line, but he can't like stop at the Florida border and physically stop buses and other people that are coming in. How are we, do you think we're dealing with this influx effectively and the concern about taking jobs away from other blue collar or lower on that socioeconomic ladder, taking their jobs away? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this as somebody who carries and writes all of the anti-illegal immigration bills in the state of Florida that Governor DeSantis has signed. There is more that we can do. One of the things that the governor and I have spoken about is crafting a bill to become law in the state of Florida that mimics what Texas is trying to do. Texas has made the argument, the legal argument, and it will wind up at the Supreme Court, that because the federal government has shirked its responsibilities in enforcing immigration, that the states now have no choice but to enforce immigration law. And it was upheld by the appellate court, and it's going to eventually wind up in the Supreme Court. I think Florida needs that law also, which would allow states, specifically the state of Florida, to detain people in the state of Florida and deport them because they are illegal. But one thing that could be done on the federal level, and I have not spoken to the Trump campaign about this, but I will, is it's very easy to stop this at the federal level. Trump has already done a very good job in his previous presidency stopping the flow of illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. But if President Trump would deputize state agencies, and allow them to enforce federal law, then every state can then deport. And I think that's the type of aggressive law we need in order to do this. That, and what we can do is have the federal government classify the drug cartels as terrorist organizations so we can seize their assets and dry up their operations, because we know almost every illegal that is coming across is paying the drug cartels $10,000 to $15,000 per person. Did you know that the drug cartels are making more money off of human trafficking and human smuggling today than they are off of drugs? That is 100% true. We need to stop the money flow, and I think it'll help
big time.
Well, yeah, and I thought that, you know, the Democrats used to be the champion of human rights and all that, but yet this human trafficking going on, it is awful. It's putting kids in, you know, sex rings and all kinds of stuff. And then the fentanyl, the folks that are dying from fentanyl, I mean, where would you stand by and allow 100,000 people a year to die from a fentanyl overdose when you know by toughening up at the border, you could stop a lot of that? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, actually, let's take this a little bit further. I'm going to be very, very critical and very, very harsh of the Democrat Party and their policies right now. We know, because it's just history, that the Democrat Party was the party of slavery. They, you know, those are the ones that put up the Jim Crow laws. The Democrat Party actually adopted pro-slavery tenets into their official party platform, and they were against the freeing of slaves. But then you fast forward to today, the definition of human trafficking is modern-day slavery. They are still effectuating slavery, even till today. The Democrat Party is not for working people. They're for a bunch of leftist white elites that look down upon everyone else. And when you put those two together, you can realize that, A, they have no common sense, they have no rule of law, and they don't care. They truly do not care about people. They say they do. They put up this big facade over years saying that, oh, they care about the downtrodden. And look at what's been happening in black communities ever since the Civil Rights Acts of 64 and 65. You know, we're now 55, 56, 57 years away from that. Black voters have been nothing but promised the world, and they're going to change their communities for half a century, and it's never happened. If they truly cared, they would actually make a difference. They don't want to make a difference. They want voters to retain their power in office.
Yeah, and the destruction of the the family as we know it doesn't bode well for anybody of any income level, but especially the lower socioeconomics. Those people suffer the most, and their kids, their offspring, have, you know, the least chance of succeeding. Right.
That's right.
Always a pleasure. State Senator Blaze Ingolia, District 11. Thanks for coming on with us. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Take care.
All righty. It's 8:45. Let's call it 8:46. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. We've got more guests coming your way later on in the 9 o'clock hour. But let's talk about some of the folks that are endorsing Kamala, and who else is going to be on this ticket, or will she even be on it? No guarantees. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. I didn't eat either.
Really?
No.
It's been too busy. I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
And it's not over yet.
This job's turning into work, I tell you.
What's up with that? Not on a Monday, no less.
Good morning and welcome. It is another day in paradise. It is 8:49 right now. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is Monday. We want to make it awesome. Biden is out, and that's probably good for the country. Mixed bag, maybe, for the Democrat Party. They're going to have to scramble. Yeah. And so he endorsed Kamala Harris, but nothing is official. I guess you have to wait for the Democrat National Convention, which is in Chicago, and that is, what, August 19th?
Yep.
What in the world? So what are they going to do in the meantime? How do you raise money? You say, yeah, it's for Kamala, is it? Maybe, maybe not.
The delegates are starting to go that way, but she's still a long way from having them all.
Here's the one thing, and I wish I could give credit. I only heard one of the, you know, the talking heads mention this, and that is the Democrat Party is a mess right now.
Right.
They really are. They're in a big mess. The convention could make it even messier, could get crazier.
Oh, man, yeah.
But what will happen as a result of that, they might get attention that they otherwise wouldn't have. You know, people tuned out, really? Old Joe Biden?
Yeah,
you know, been there, done that, whatever. And this could bring with it, you know, this level of excitement. Now, how they form their messaging is going to be important.
Yeah.
And because they have this, you know, the whole Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They're probably going to still push that. Like, we got to get rid of Trump thing at the convention.
Right.
And I don't want to give them any information for free, but that's absolutely not the way to go. And I'll tell you why. Those who, you know, hate Trump and are voting for Democrats no matter what because they hate him for whatever reasons are not going to stop hating him. Okay? So they're going to use that and they're going to pile on. But you know what? At the end of the day, what people are looking for, especially when you're going through challenging times, this high rate of inflation, we're paying so much more for our groceries, try to get a loan, you know, maybe you or your kid trying to get a house, the mortgage payment, all of a sudden you're like, what? I was going to get a $400,000 house. Now my payment's going to be as, you know, all I can afford is like a house for $250,000, which good luck finding that. You know how it goes. So people are concerned. What's the future hold? They don't have an uplifting message. They don't have a positive, uplifting message. They're going to save the planet. Do they consider the whole green stuff uplifting? It's not. Because they tell you, if you don't support it, we're all going to die. The temperatures are going to go up and it's going to be unsustainable. But the thing is, what they don't tell you is that if you don't get like Russia and China and all that on board, then no matter how right they may or may not be about the issue itself and how man-made it is or not, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, even if you follow all their stuff and go, yeah, they're right, it's all bad, it's all going to happen, nothing you can do in this country will make up for the CO2 that they're putting out in those other nations that I named. Nothing. So that's not a positive. That's not a plus. That doesn't go in the net category for the Democrats. What else are they going to talk about? Gender fluidity? And we think it's really important that your kids get even more confused about sexuality as early as possible.
Yeah,
and they somehow defend that? Well, no matter how you slice it and dice it, it's not uplifting. It's not an uplifting thing.
No.
You know, how do they slice and dice the border issue and make that uplifting? It's like, Oh, yeah, the American dream. We're making the American dream a possibility for, you know, people around the world. I guess it could be uplifting, but I'm not around the world. I live here. I've lived here for a long time. Like, what are you doing for me? You know?
No.
I see this guy, you know, living on the streets, and you're giving out these stipends that are more money per month than a whole lot of Social Security recipients are getting right now. Yeah. How do you make that uplifting?
It's not.
Where is the message?
No.
Where is the? There's not positivity.
Mm-mm.
And you know, look, you know when you're around. I'm going to be honest. You know when you're around a bunch of lefties, you can almost feel the negative energy. I used to joke like the smell, patchouli oil, and all that. But honestly, you can feel it.
It's true.
You can feel it because they're not positive people. When I moved here 22 years ago to Gainesville, the archipelago of communism, I was told by my neighbor, you know, in a jokingly fun way.
You didn't know it was very real. Very conservative.
Yeah. And so when I moved here, you can just tell the people are not happy. And so I went on the radio and I go, hey, I'm in a college town, man. We come to Gainesville. We would come to party. We'd come to watch the football game. We'd heard of things called Gainesville Green, and it wasn't a wallpaper. you know, what happened? Where's the happy hippies? And it's not just Gainesville. This is what happened with that whole kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy anymore. They're the extremely cranky, angry. You can't even call them hippies. They're not hippies. They're angry. They just think that life sucks. And you could point out to them all the good things that are happening in their life, but they, for whatever reason, they can't see that. And they're worried about what other people are doing all the time. Oh, you shouldn't be in that gas-powered car. Why are you eating red meat? You know, they kind of become the police of other people's freedoms and behavior. And that's not happy hippie-ish at all. Whatever happened to, you know, live and love and, right?
No.
Yeah, what happened to all that? So, yes, they don't have an uplifting positive message because that's not what they're about. And as much as they try to hide their agenda through deception and other means,
mm-hmm.
naming their bills they want to pass cleverly.
Yeah.
The Anti-Inflation Act that probably only raised inflation 5 or 6 points.
Is that all?
It's pretty much anti-inflation.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. All right, let's go to Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. You're right, Bob. It's not uplifting. The left in general is defiant, deviant, deranged, desperate, and you just said a D word yourself there. I can't remember what it was, but God bless America. It's not uplifting at all. What is there? What is their message? Who are their people? They're jokes. They're all desperate. It's horrible. God bless America.
God bless America.
No, Biden said no joke.
Did he?
He
true story?
That. Oh.
This message brought to you by Corn Pop. It is 8:57. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner, and we have a special guest lined up in the 9 o'clock hour, Eric Erickson. Yeah, stand by. I didn't eat either.
Really?
No.
It's been too busy. I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
And it's not over yet.
This job's turning into work, I tell you.
What's up with that? Not on a Monday, no less.
Good morning and welcome. It is another day in paradise. It is 8:49 right now. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is Monday. We want to make it awesome. Biden is out, and that's probably good for the country. Mixed bag, maybe, for the Democrat Party. They're going to have to scramble. Yeah. And so he endorsed Kamala Harris, but nothing is official. I guess you have to wait for the Democrat National Convention, which is in Chicago, and that is, what, August 19th?
Yep.
What in the world? So what are they going to do in the meantime? How do you raise money? You say, yeah, it's for Kamala, is it? Maybe, maybe not.
The delegates are starting to go that way, but she's still a long way from having them all.
Here's the one thing, and I wish I could give credit. I only heard one of the talking heads mention this, and that is, the Democrat Party is a mess right now.
Right.
They really are. They're in a big mess. The convention could make it even messier, could get crazier.
Oh, man, yeah.
But what will happen as a result of that, they might get attention that they otherwise wouldn't have. Mm. You know, people tuned out. Really? Old Joe Biden?
Yeah,
You know, been there, done that, whatever. And this could bring with it, you know, this level of excitement. Now, how they form their messaging is going to be important.
Yeah.
And because they have this, you know, the whole Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They're probably going to still push that. Like, we got to get rid of Trump thing at the convention.
Right.
And I don't want to give them any information for free, but that's absolutely not the way to go. And I'll tell you why. Those who, you know, hate Trump and are voting for Democrats no matter what because they hate him for whatever reasons are not going to stop hating him. Okay? So they're going to use that and they're going to pile on. But you know what? At the end of the day, what people are looking for, especially when you're going through challenging times, this high rate of inflation, we're paying so much more for our groceries, try to get a loan, you know, maybe you or your kid trying to get a house, the mortgage payment, all of a sudden you're like, what? I was going to get a $400,000 house. Now my payment's going to be as, you know, all I can afford is like a house for $250,000, which good luck finding that. You know how it goes. So people are concerned. What's the future hold? They don't have an uplifting message. They don't have a positive, uplifting message. They're going to save the planet. Do they consider the whole green stuff uplifting? It's not. Because they tell you, if you don't support it, we're all going to die. The temperatures are going to go up, and it's going to be unsustainable. But the thing is, what they don't tell you is that if you don't get, like, Russia and China and all that on board, then no matter how right they may or may not be about the issue itself and how man-made it is or not, I'm just saying, even if you follow all their stuff and go, yeah, they're right, it's all bad, it's all going to happen, nothing you can do in this country will make up for the CO2 that they're putting out in those other nations that I named. Nothing. So that's not a positive. That's not a plus. That doesn't go in the net category for the Democrats. What else are they going to talk about? gender fluidity, and we think it's really important that your kids get even more confused about sexuality as early as possible.
Yeah,
and they somehow defend that? Well, no matter how you slice it and dice it, it's not uplifting. It's not an uplifting thing.
No.
You know, how do they slice and dice the border issue and make that uplifting? It's like, yeah, the American dream. We're making the American dream a possibility for, you know, people around the world. I guess it could be uplifting, but I'm not around the world. I live here. I've lived here for a long time. Like, what are you doing for me? You know?
No.
I see this guy, you know, living on the streets, and you're giving out these stipends that are more money per month than a whole lot of Social Security recipients are getting right now. Yeah. How do you make that uplifting?
It's not.
Where is the message?
No.
Where is the? There's not positivity.
Mm-mm.
And then that, and you know, look, you know when you're around. I'm going to be honest. You know when you're around a bunch of lefties, you can almost feel the negative energy. I used to joke like the smell, patchouli oil and all that. But honestly, you can feel it.
It's true.
You can feel it because they're not positive people. When I moved here 22 years ago to Gainesville, the archipelago of communism, I was told by my neighbor, you know, in a jokingly fun way.
You didn't know it was very real.
Conservative. Yeah. No. And so when I moved here, you can just tell the people are not happy. And so I went on the radio and I go, hey. I'm in a college town, man. We come to Gainesville. We would come to party. We'd come to watch the football game. We'd heard of things called Gainesville Green, and it wasn't a wallpaper. you know, what happened? Where's the happy hippies? And it's not just Gainesville. This is what happened with that whole kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy anymore. They're the extremely cranky, angry. You can't even call them hippies. They're not hippies. They're angry. They just think that life sucks. And you could point out to them all the good things that are happening in their life, but they, for whatever reason, they can't see that. And they're worried about what other people are doing all the time. Oh, you shouldn't be in that gas-powered car. Why are you eating red meat? You know, they kind of become the police of other people's freedoms and behavior. And that's not happy hippie-ish at all. Whatever happened to, you know, live and love and, right?
No.
Yeah, what happened to all that? So, yes, they don't have an uplifting, positive message because that's not what they're about. And as much as they try to hide their agenda through deception and other means,
mm-hmm.
naming their bills they want to pass cleverly.
Yeah.
The Anti-Inflation Act that probably only raised inflation 5 or 6 points.
I mean, is that all?
It's pretty much anti-inflation.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. All right, let's go to Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. You're right, Bob. It's not uplifting. The left in general is defiant, deviant, deranged, desperate. And you just said a D word yourself there. I can't remember what it was, but God bless America. It's not uplifting at all. What is there? What is their message? Who are their people? They're jokes. They're all desperate. It's horrible. God bless America.
God bless America.
No, Biden said no joke.
Did he?
He always
true story?
That. Oh.
This message brought to you by Corn Pop. It is 8:57. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner, and we have a special guest lined up in the 9 o'clock hour. Eric Erickson. Yeah, stand by.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.